It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show. It was what I would call a successful weekend. You take two out of three from the White Sox, although Joe Espada decided to turn the difficulty up on Sunday. Sean Mapes is, or at least was, an MLB Show the Player, so I'm going to ask him what level of difficulty Joe Espada decided to make Sunday's game with his minor league type lineup. We'll get into that. Sean, just think about it. I've never played that game, but just think about what it might be, because I had to look it up to see what the difficulty levels are. And Joe Espada was like, you know what? God may give me my toughest battles, but I'm going to give my players one today, too. Let's see how tough we can make this one and see if we can come through. The Astros did, thanks to a great pitching performance by Fromber. Hunter Brown was great on Saturday. Arrighetti on Friday. It happens. It happens sometimes. Didn't go well. You're going against Crochet. It happens. But they take two out of three. The Texans on Saturday. Noon game. We're used to noon games here watching the Texans. This time it was on a Saturday. And I don't know. I feel like I watched a different game than a lot of people, because maybe even a different game than the Texans quarterback saw. And we'll get to some of the sound from CJ Stroud, because in that sound, he commended his offensive line. And from my eyes and my thoughts, when you're off starting offensive line plus the tight end commits two holding calls and a false start in their limited number of snaps, maybe it wasn't such a great performance. Now, they didn't allow a sack, which is always important to a quarterback, and he mentions that. And you'll take that. CJ did get a little bump on the fourth down play, the fourth and goal play, from Brian Burns when he hit Blake Fisher with a crazy spin move. Ball was batted down, I think, by Dexter Lawrence. The Texans came away with no points. Could have kicked the field goal. Maybe they would have in the regular season. DeMeco talked about why he chose that route. We may get to that, too, in a little bit. But couldn't run the football, and I think the Texans did something very smart. When you have Blake Fisher out there, you have an offensive line who hasn't played much together this preseason, we're not going to subject C.J. Stroud to standing back there and potentially taking shots. A lot of quick stuff, particularly when they had some free access routes from the tight ends that hit. They hit Brevin Jordan on one, I believe, and maybe even Dalton Schultz on one, beyond the one when they actually did show good pass protection backed up on their own goal line. That one was their best, at least from their starters, their best play, at least in my eyes. CJ held the ball, the offensive line held it up, and hit Dalton Schultz for a big game. But you come out of there clean, no major injuries that I can remember, and your quarterback barely got touched. We'll take it. All of the talk about how well the offensive line played, I mean, I guess it's going to fall. I guess Damian Pierce in my agenda is not thriving, but I guess it can fall on him that they didn't run the football. But this is now, and of course there have been different combinations with the starting offensive line. This is now like three games where the starting offensive line has not made anyone move. They have not at least generated enough of a running game to help Damian Pierce. Maybe he's just bad. I think that's where a lot of people are falling on, because they see Cam Akers in against backup offensive linemen, or with backup offensive linemen, or with backup defenders going against him, and he's found a way to be successful. They're different runners, clearly, and maybe it's simply that Damian Pierce doesn't fit the way the Texans are going to run the football. We'll see. Joe Mixon, we haven't seen him. He was on the sideline. He's been practicing, so you should expect him week one. We'll see how Joe Mixon fares, and if he doesn't fare any better, maybe we do have questions about the offensive line. But for right now, it's like, Damian Pierce stinks. And that's kind of the explanation for why they can't run the football right now. We'll see. If he gets time in the final preseason game, or if it becomes a thing where in week one we're all of a sudden asking questions about why they can't run the ball against the Colts, then there might be a bigger conversation to be had about why this offensive line did not perform well in the preseason run the ball. But importantly, your quarterback gets out of there healthy. I wouldn't expect him in the final preseason game. Doesn't seem like there's a point. You saw Stephon Diggs make his first catch, and that led to a mini controversy. If you missed it, John Harris, who was formerly a 1560, which is what this place was before 97.5, just for people who have joined us more recently, he used to work here. He is now the analyst for the Texans. I think I don't know if he took over for Andre Ware this year, or is that Andre Ware's a radio guy. Spencer Tillman used to do that, probably some others in between, but John Harris does that now. He does a lot of breakdowns for the Texans on their website, but he kind of took a shot at Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs' former quarterback, and Warren Sharp got a hold of it. He quote tweeted the audio or the video of it, and at the end of a long explanation for why this particular analyst was incorrect, he said, the guy's an idiot. And Buffalo Bills people caught on to it too. And of course, no one can just have any fun. They had the quote tweet and go, actually, look at this throw that Josh Allen made. And actually, look at this throw that Josh Allen made. This is a local broadcast. He's playing to the crowd. He's playing to his base. You guys know it's about that time of the year. You play to your base.
Yeah. And if there's one thing about NFL fans, though,
they're reasonable.
Well, that and they never watch a local broadcast of their game. The only time is during the preseason.
It's only during the preseason.
Ever local broadcast.
It's very true. It's true.
Like in baseball, this is just like, yeah, there's 19 different subtle shots at different teams throughout the broadcast.
It's part of the fun of the local broadcast in baseball.
These people didn't grow up with Bill Worrell. That's what it tells me.
They would have lost their minds with Bill Worrell.
I guess Buffalo doesn't have a team, but if they're Knicks fans,
yeah,
they're lucky. They're lucky Warren Sharp doesn't get his hands on some old FSN?
I guess at this point, yeah.
Fox Sports Southwest.
Sure, sure. So I think it was like just an overreaction, particularly because a giant voice with a giant following got a hold of it and was very critical of the commentary. I heard it when it happened. I was like, whatever, fine. Maybe I love a little Josh Allen slander. It didn't bother me. But for the people who wouldn't stand for it, namely Warren Sharp among others, it became a thing. We might get to it. It's not a big deal. It wasn't a big deal, but it did turn the internet against the Houston Texans local broadcast. Luckily for John Harris, I don't think they knew who it was, because then it would have been a real problem. Because as our good friend Raheel Ramzanali has always said, never go viral. You go viral, it's generally not a good thing. I don't think any doxing has occurred, but guys, relax. It's just the local broadcast doing the local broadcast thing. But we can get to this right now before we go to break. C.J. Stroud, he did talk about his offensive line, and maybe the starting quarterback for the team has a better view of it than I do. I certainly didn't think they played as well as was indicated by C.J. and others, but here's C.J. Stroud on the play of his offensive line.
Yeah, they did a really good job of just, you know, giving me time. And I know that, you know, they got my back thick and thin. So, you know, it's just more than just ball. It's just a trust factor that I have with those guys. And that's a great D-line over there. Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns and Kayvon, all are great players. So, you know, they have their hands full. But I think we didn't give up any sacks today. And we only played our starters in the first quarter. So, you know, for our second guys to go in there and do well, too, that just shows the work they've been putting in.
Thanks, CJ. CJ Stroud on his offensive line. Look, you commit three penalties in two drives. It's not great, but they did keep him clean. And they had a good drive on drive one. The quick stuff, keeping Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns out of it. for the almost the entirety of the drive. Then on third down, I think it was third and goal, Shaq Mason got called for a hold as CJ was trying to escape the pocket. Thankfully, it was offsetting penalties because I think the Giants got called for an illegal contact or a pass interference, something like that. And then on the fourth down play where the ball was batted down, Brian Burns hit Blake Fisher with the spin move. But all in all, you move the football on your first drive, and they pulled CJ on third and 10 because it was the end of the first quarter. Hey, you're getting a quarter. We're not even going to let you complete the second drive. So they pulled him on third and 10. Case came in, and I think that drive resulted in a punt. So you force some turnovers. They'll get to Jalen Petrie and what he did. He had the pick. He had the tackle for loss. But I'll talk about the play I felt was most impressive for me, considering some of his struggles from last year. We'll get to the Astros, too. We'll get into some of the numbers of what was a successful weekend, although tougher than you might have thought, considering what happened last night or yesterday afternoon, and then you double that or couple that with what happened on Friday when the series didn't get off to a good start. So they exit the weekend four games up as the Mariners only won one out of two. So the Mariners continue to play poorly. The Astros continue to play well, and they continue to stretch their lead in the AL West with a tough stretch coming up. We'll get into what's next for Justin Verlander. We have some news on that and how soon he'll be back. We're just getting started here. We'll be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Beyond what happened on the field, I had some really haven of nonsense observations about the game. Kamari Lassiter, look, man, you've done a great job of becoming a starter in your rookie year, but don't come here to the NFL with the no gloves, no nothing on your arms thing. I don't need Kyle Tucker of cornerbacks out there. Did you see him out there?
I did. I didn't know.
He didn't pull that at Georgia. Why are you pulling it in the NFL? No armbands, no elbow bands, no nothing. Just full out pads down and naked arms. Look,
I like it.
I don't.
All about football.
Stop it.
Not about all this flashy stuff.
Trying too hard is what I call it. You didn't do that at Georgia, where it was all about football all the time. You had the turf tape on. You had the gloves on. You can go out there, no gloves, no nothing. I can't have him a starting cornerback looking like that. Think Kamari Lassiter. Just think of when Madden 25 updates their roster. Think of the visuals. You're gonna be the one guy out there looking like one of those sideline guys who's not fully created because we can't populate an entire sideline with actual players, so we'll just put a guy as a space filler. Anyone who's played the game knows what I'm talking about. That's what he looks like out there. You got to put on some gloves, or at least tape your fingers.
Okay.
You want to be Tyrann Mathieu and tape your fingers? I'm good with that too.
I think we can compromise. Or
Sean Taylor taped his fingers. Do that.
Yeah, tape the nothing is crazy.
Nothing's crazy.
I didn't notice until he was already off the field. So for a second, I thought, oh. Did he just like, he's done. He just took everything
no,
off.
No, that's how he looked down the field.
That's very funny.
He didn't even,
it's preseason.
He didn't even start that initially with the Texans in practice. At first, I looked it up because I had nothing else to do. Yes.
Wow.
On Saturday during the game. During the second quarter, I'm not actually caring about this game anymore. I got to look up stuff. So I'm looking it up online. Kamari Lassiter, pictures of him in Texans practice. He first started with gloves. And then progressed during training camp, the gloves came off. Can't have that from a starting corner. Meanwhile, the visual of him standing there as you thought done for the day, but he had not taken anything off. He didn't come out there with anything. And then there's a guy, a redheaded guy, you might call him a ginger, with a bald fade. He's got Tank Dell's giant diamond chain on. How do I know it's Tank Dell's chain? Diamond number three. And I'm looking at this guy. This guy's salary can't cover that chain. It's obviously Tank Dell's chain. Tank Dell has a personal chain wearer. I guess you don't want to leave it at home.
Yeah.
Maybe security is an issue. But in the Texans locker room, you're worried about someone walking in there and taking it from you?
Hey, he saw what happened to Colorado last year.
Well, it's a Colorado versus recruits went in there, I guess, and took their stuff, as opposed to there are no recruits walking through the Texans locker room.
You don't know.
In some cases, I do know. In this case, I'm going to say I know. There are no. Who are they recruiting?
Secure. You know, so many people. Not. It doesn't have to be just about football. Maybe it's the new crop of cheerleaders that they're recruiting. Maybe it's some clients and vendors and such that get a full tour.
And they're going to steal from Tank Dell.
Just watch out. If you can afford security.
How does someone find their way into that job where you just wear Tank Dell's chain?
I don't know, but I would love to know how much he makes and the benefits.
I'm telling you, does Tank Dell pay him the difference between how much that chain costs and that guy's actual salary?
I imagine he is paid by the McNairs for something. He's
wearing Texans gear. I'm assuming he's part of their staff, and Tank maybe developed a friendship with
him. A little something on chain. The side, yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Tank, hey, Tank's like, how much do you make? And whatever the number is. Tank goes, well, my chain costs this. I'm gonna make up the difference. How wide do you think the difference is? Did you see the chain?
No, I did not see the.
It's a diamond chain, and then the three is diamond three too that the guy's wearing. Uh-huh. I just thought to myself, that's the first time I've ever seen a guy with a personal chain wearer on the sideline. Maybe the plan was for Tank to put the chain on after his series and a half was up. And then he was going to, like, you know what, I'm going to wear this on the sideline. Maybe that was the plan. But I saw it. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he was just like, hey, keep this close by.
So I can wear it, because there are going to be a lot of shots of me hanging around with Stephon Diggs and CJ.
Yeah, with Stephon Diggs yelling at us.
Allegedly yelling, yes, because that's what he's doing when he's having an animated conversation about route running. He's yelling at everyone. That was the national media's perspective after his first game against the Steelers. So. Those are my nonsensical observations. The chain thing I thought was fun. I can't have my starting cornerback wearing no gloves or no nothing. Put on the tape around the fingers.
Armbands? Can we get some armbands?
Exactly. Anything. Not just straight naked arms and naked hands. That's not the aura that I'm looking for. We talked about this. What if CJ decided he was going to be the one quarterback to wear a guardian cap? You don't want look, we know it's for safety reasons, but I don't want my starting quarterback wearing a guardian cap.
Yes, we take safety very seriously here at the Del Olea Show.
Except when it's not cool.
Yes, we have a line.
Yes.
And that's the guardian cap.
You want to wear a special helmet? You want to wear the I think it's like a Visus 2 or whatever, especially for quarterbacks? Cool. But don't put that helmet on, that guardian cap on. I'm trying to think of the Jetsons character who had it. It was like a green Martian who sat on their shoulder and said, hello, dum-dum, to everybody. I forgot what that guy's name is, but that's what it looks like. Don't do it.
Again, we take brain health very seriously.
We do. As long as it's cool.
Yeah.
As long as the helmet's cool, wear whatever, wherever you want.
We're aligned on this, yeah.
Yeah. We do take it very seriously. Like this show, everything's taken very seriously on this show. So what else was there? Beyond...
Daniel Jones sucks.
Well, yes. I mean, that goes without saying.
Does it have to be Texans related? Because that guy...
He was bad. The two picks... I almost think because he was being harassed on the first one, that the second one is worse. Not that he had a clear step, but maybe a half step, or maybe Stingley was just baiting him. But you threw the ball short and inside. If you're going to test Derek Stingley, you throw the ball, I got to tell Daniel Jones how to play quarterback, I guess. Throw the ball to the outside shoulder of the receiver. So if he don't, you know, if he doesn't catch it, no one does. That old age-old saying, throw it to the outside shoulder and see. If you're trying, I don't mind testing a guy in preseason, but that was terrible. Clean pocket, and everyone's crediting Stingley for his ball skills. He has great ball skills. He gets his hand on footballs. He's probably going to catch him. But that's easy money for Derek Stingley. Didn't even make him try.
Yeah, I mean, both interceptions for the Texans were just, like, thrown to them.
Yeah. The Derek Barnett put the pressure on Daniel Jones, and he's being harassed, and of course, no one wants to take a safety. And so, you know what? It's awful, but at least there's the excuse of I was nearly being tackled in the end zone, but still bad. Jalen Petrie, I mentioned him in the first segment. He had a good day. That play, and then on the run blitz, he had a tackle behind the line where he met Devin Singletary, the former Texan, and Daniel Jones almost were at the handoff. cool. I almost hand that to D'Amico and Matt Burke as far as putting him in a position and all he had to do was make a tackle where anyone in his position should have, considering how quickly he was in there. The one I'm impressed with is the Singletary play on the outside, one-on-one, all the space in the world, and he brings Singletary down and almost strips him of the football, eventually gets him out of bounds. That's the most impressive thing for me, his ability to close and not get beat and shut that play down. We know he's taken bad angles in the past, and even when he's gotten to places when he should have been, he misses tackles. A marked improvement for him. The back and forth between nickel and safety, I think, is what we're going to see from him throughout. He's going to be a big nickel. He's going to be a guy who you see down there in the run game. You don't really want him covering slot receivers and pass coverage. I don't imagine that would go well. But the role they had him in, maybe covering tight ends more, just being a versatile piece down there, and then he can move back to safety in certain situations. You like. He was productive. Yeah, the Daniel Jones ball came right to him, but he made a play. You credit him for catching that football. It's not always a guarantee. And the couple tackles he made as well. A good day overall for him. So the defense did what they're supposed to do. Look, the Giants spent a whole offseason, at least Hard Knocks did, following them around for a bit, and all the talk was about Brian Daboll being not thrilled that he still had the same quarterbacks he had last year. And now you see why. If we didn't know already, we see why. The fact that he has to run Daniel Jones out there. In fact, he's been punished for how well he did with Daniel Jones in year one. He did well enough that Daniel Jones got paid. Now he's stuck with him because the Giants are like, well, we paid him that money. Let's wring whatever we can out of him. And Brian Daboll's like, please, no. I was a magician in year one. I can't do that again.
I can already see when he gets fired at the end of this year, that when he gets hired again in 2026 or something, the fan base being like, hey, listen, he got fired because he did too good of a job with Daniel Jones.
He's a victim of his own success.
Yeah. That's going to be a real good selling point the next time he has a job.
Yeah. Yeah, you got stuck with Daniel Jones because you were too good in year one as a rookie head coach. It's a tough beat. It's a tough beat. Hey, man, don't be so great. Making the playoffs with Daniel Jones was the biggest mistake of his career.
Yeah, coast a little. Come on.
Understand the situation. I know it's not great to tank, particularly when you have a chance to make the playoffs. And hell, they won a playoff game. They went and beat Kirk Cousins in Minnesota.
Congrats.
And now look what it's gotten you.
Yeah.
You're stuck with Daniel Jones for another year, and it might cost you your job. I got to be begging to my general manager. Is it Joe Shane? Hey, you know how bad he is. Don't blame me. Give me a year.
Give me a year with insert
Shador Sanders, Carson Beck, whoever it might be. Give me a chance. See what I did with Daniel Jones. But there's only a certain ceiling you can reach, and it's been regressing since that point.
We're going to draft Cam Ward, and now we're going to be awesome.
If Mario Cristobal hasn't ruined him by then, we'll see. Speaking of guys ruining Miami quarterbacks, we can get to that a little bit later. Tua took Brian Flores to task publicly in front of a camera, and it was for the Dan Le Batard show. So we might get to that. When we come back, we'll hear from Jalen Petrie, probably their best defender yesterday, Saturday. We will hear from him, and we'll get to some of the Astros stuff as well as they take 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. White Sox. They swept the Red Sox. So, in fact, let's just say they dominate the Sox. But we'll hear from Jalen Petrie up next, and then we'll talk about what the Astros did over the weekend and what's coming up, because we've got news and good news about Verlander. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to Jalen Petrie here in a second, but Willie P. called in, and if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Willie P., what's up?
Hey, good morning, Del. How you doing, man?
Good morning. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. So yeah, the game on Friday, it was pretty tense. You guys, Fulham came close in the first half, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be one of them opening days. And then it kind of died down in the middle, and then of course, we saw the class, you know, the difference between both teams is one has a striker, the other one doesn't. And we pulled out that 1-0 win, so I was pretty happy about that. And then it was funny watching Chelsea get punished yesterday by Man City. But the other thing I want to talk about, last week I was talking about NCAA. And, yeah, I got on it online, but I got on Ultimate Team, and I didn't realize if you pick whatever favorite team you pick, that's the team that you use. And so I had, like, Donovan Smith and Man Jack out there getting punished. But after you play a few games, you get cards or whatever. And so now my quarterback is Lamar Jackson, and my running back is Quinshon Judkin. So I've been handing people L's left and right in the UH colors. So shout out to them. But anyways, you guys have a good day. Sean, what it do, baby? Take it easy. Peace.
Let me ask you something, Sean. Because there was a discussion on the morning show about where fantasy football fits in as far as interest and radio. And if you are not someone into fantasy football, then it can be kind of mind-numbing, particularly if someone's talking about their specific team. But overall fantasy football stuff, you're just asking questions about who you should draft. That might be better for people. Where does talking about your cut team from NCAA rank when it comes to interest from others on radio?
Pretty low.
I would think so. I don't mind Willie P doing it. He can call in because it has been a running thing on the show.
Yeah, it closed the loop.
It fits. And yeah, we always like to close the loop on topics. He called in last week. But as far as the general public, when he's deciding first to start with soccer, which I love, but still, I understand the audience.
The first name out of his mouth was Fulham.
Yes, yes. That. And I will say this. The one team had the striker, one dud. No, one team has a payroll of like, what, maybe hundreds of million dollars more than the other. That's the difference. And it took you to the 87th minute. So congratulations to you. Let's not pretend like we don't know the clear differences about how that sport is played. The one team had the striker. Yeah. One team brought on like two guys that were worth $70 million between them as far as evaluation in the final minutes of the game. Cut it out, Willie P. You guys were lucky. But all right, enough about my rant. We should have at least tied that game. Got out of there with the result on Friday. But yeah, I don't know if College Football Ultimate Team. I don't know if that plays well, but he called in. We'll talk about it. Well, he can talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. I just told you, don't rip on Donovan Smith when you're the quarterback for the team. You're literally taking every snap and calling every play in a football game. You can't blame the quarterback when you're the one moving him around, making throws. Just how it is. All right.
But now he has Lamar Jackson. He's way better.
Oh, surprising. Look at that. He's got Lamar Jackson, virtual Lamar Jackson. Surprising how that gets better for him. Maybe the Donovan Smith thing is user error. Maybe it's user error, Willie P. But Jalen Petrie is an actual pro that you guys have heard of and care about. He plays for your Houston Texans. And there's some expectations for Jalen Petrie to improve over what was a disappointing sophomore season after a rookie season that led to people thinking he could be a future Pro Bowler. He had a nice game on Saturday, the two tackles that were impressive, and then the pick six. Here's Jalen Petrie on his play and also the moves back and forth between nickel and safety.
How did it feel to get in the end zone?
Oh, it felt great, man. It was my first time in the end zone, and thankfully it was, you know, here at our stadium, so it was real fun to get in there.
Looked like he was under some duress from Derek Barnett to help make that play for him.
Yeah, he went full assist mode right there and got me the interception, so real thankful for that.
A good example of your comfort zone we've been talking about with you at the nickel spot?
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of fun today playing nickel and safety, you know. But like I said, wherever coach wants me, you know, it's always fun to just be out there with my teammates. Be able to have, you know, all of us swarming to the ball.
And then Sting keeps it going. You started the party, but you kept the party going.
Oh, yeah. I don't, like, anytime the ball is thrown over there, it's his. Like, I wouldn't do that if I was a quarterback.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
And then it seemed to catch on. It's been contagious. I think there were, like, five turnovers.
Yeah, we got five turnovers, which is big for the defense. You know, we preach that, and we're trying to get the ball back into the offense's hands as much as we can. So, you know, it was a great day overall.
A good start for you.
For sure.
Awesome.
Jalen Petrie on his performance, and I mentioned a Stingley as well, who there's some all-pro hype with him, and rightfully so. Particularly if you're going to have the ball production he has when he's on the field, he's going to get a lot of attention. Interceptions play. I mean, maybe even more so than some of the advanced analytics when it comes to coverage and your coverage area and who caught what. If you pick off footballs, it's going to help. And Stingley has all of that. He could have picked off the first pass of the game. He jumped that route from Jones to Neighbors, and he could have had two picks on the day.
Yeah. That was my first impression of Daniel Jones yesterday or on Saturday. I was like, oh, that first one could have been a pick six.
Well, yeah. He was like, look, I know you dropped this one. I'm going to give you another opportunity.
Yeah,
don't worry about
it. Later.
Don't worry about it. I appreciate you doing that, but I got you. Don't worry about it. Daniel Jones looked out at Stingley and goes, I got you. And he certainly did, and he helped Petrie out as well. Okay, so the Texans dominating in their preseason game against the Giants, took advantage of Daniel Jones, and was relatively easy. The Giants aren't good. I think we all know that, and we'll see if Daboll will be able to make it through this year. And I will – the only bail I will shoot Daniel Jones is this. He didn't play football all of 2023, right? Or he played in some, but very early in that year he was lost for the season. So that's the only bail I'm shooting him. Yeah, he was out very early in 2023. So it's been a long time since he played football, and it showed –
they have it on First Take right now. It was his first appearance since knee injury in November.
Okay, it wasn't that deep. It wasn't that early in the year. It was in November. I just don't pay attention to the Giants football because why would I? Daniel Jones is their quarterback.
Yeah, so, they put in Tyrod Taylor for him, and you're like, no difference.
There is no difference. So it wasn't that long ago that he hadn't played, but sure, he had missed some time, looked it, and we'll see if he gets better. Okay, so the Astros, we'll switch to them. They take 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. And credit their pitching again, particularly Saturday and Sunday. Fromber and Hunter Brown were really, really good again. And there's not a lot to say about a White Sox series. What do you take away from it? They're the worst team in baseball. It's almost like every win if you don't win it comfortably, it almost feels like a loss. You know, this anxiety. Why are we in a game with the White Sox? And then it was feeling that way for a bit yesterday. But Fromber was good enough where you only needed a run, and the Astros took care of business. Now, the lineup was the big deal going into the game because the lineups get posted, and everyone's looking, ooh, look at this lineup. It's not exactly a major league lineup. It looks like a lot of guys who the Astros have called up in spots to make up for guys being out. And Joe Spada decided yesterday was the day to throw them all in the lineup at the same time. And the results play to it. They scored the 2 runs. And this is the lineup, particularly if you missed it, the back half of the lineup. Hell, Jake Myers was in the 4-hole, which tells you all you need to know. Then it went with Whitcomb, DeCinzo, Dubon, and Chaz, who's awful right now, and Pedro Leon. So, now Whitcomb went 0 for 4. Of course, he's still batting .286. He just hasn't been around long enough for all these 0 for 4s to drop him. Because he started off pretty well. So DeCinzo under 170. Dubon, we know he struggled, but he's at .250 right now. McCormick under .200. Pedro Leon, .100. So you've got 3 rookies who aren't really expected to do much. Dubon, who struggled, and McCormick, who's been bad all year. And then Jake Myers, a guy I didn't even mention, hitting .231 in your 4 spot. So I asked you to think about this before when we were in the first segment. You play MLB The Show. What level of difficulty did Joe Spada decide to make Sunday's game when we talk about that lineup? Now, he did have Fromber, so that made it easier. Also, you're playing against the White Sox, so sure. But he decided, look, it's the White Sox.
Yeah.
I'm going to give some of my guys a rest. What level of difficulty do you think that was that he decided to choose? Was it Hall of Fame?
I think it was Hall of Fame. I think that's Hall – because you still got Altuve and Yiner, and surprise, surprise, your 2 runs came from those 2 guys.
Yeah. Surprise.
What a surprise. The 2 of the 3 good players in your lineup or guys that are at least playing well at the moment. Those are where the runs come from. So, yeah, I think it's above all-star. I think it's at a Hall of Fame.
Below legend.
Below legend. Legend would have been if you didn't have those 2 guys in there. if you were actually the Space Cowboys playing against the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, if you decided – we're going to go with the bullpen game, throw that in there as well, just to see how it would go.
Yeah, yeah, proper really helped. Yeah. Maybe it was something where they set the batting difficulty at Hall of Fame and then the pitching difficulty at, like, veteran or
yeah.
rookie.
Apparently, I'm looking at this. I'm looking just this website to see the levels. There are, as I count, eight. Is it eight? No, it's like nine different levels. No, eight. Eight different levels for MLB the Show. So Espada was like, I'm going to go seven. Seventh toughest level and see how it goes for my team.
Yeah. Let's grind a little.
Yeah.
See what we're made of.
If I'm the White Sox manager, I'm like, all right, buddy. We know we're not good. You ain't got to roll out there and insult us like this. Look, you're going to roll these guys out there and think, you know what? You're in a playoff chase. I know the Mariners are falling apart, but you're in a playoff chase, and you've decided to roll this lineup out against us? It's insulting. It's a little insulting if I'm the White Sox.
No. You insulted them a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
You're telling me you think you can beat us with these guys. He was right, by the way. He did have Fromber, which helped a lot. But I look at that lineup and go, this man doesn't respect us at all. He doesn't. He doesn't respect the White Sox.
I obviously don't know enough about the White Sox and don't care about the lineups going against the White Sox enough to know. Like,
it had to have been one of the worst lineups they've had. From a good baseball team. Like, there are some other bad baseball teams, none worse than the White Sox. But from a good baseball team, this had to have been the worst lineup they've seen all year long.
Yeah, I was wondering, is this a regular thing against the Red Sox?
On Sundays,
against the White Sox?
On Sundays where the other team has to get out of town, do they just roll out their worst lineup and see how it goes?
I don't know. I don't know what happens when they play the Orioles or the Guardians or whatever, where they're just like, all right, it's time to empty the bench a little.
Keep
the guys at the end of the roster sharp, you know?
I believe it's the worst lineup they've ever seen this year from a good team because the Astros have so many injured players and guys or guys who are, let's say, not fringe minor leaguers, but fringe Major League Baseball players who are only up because of injuries or just ineffectiveness. So all those guys can roll out there. Like, good baseball teams don't have this type of bench, this minor league, this space cowboy bench that the Astros have.
Yeah, I mean, because you mentioned, like, I don't know, how many of those guys start on a regular basis or are starting currently at a pretty regular basis? It is like three of the five guys that we're talking about is terrible. They're like Myers plays basically every day. He's the starting center fielder.
To be honest, I don't care who was hitting 5 through 9. The fact, if I'm going down the lineup and I'm the White Sox and I see Jake Myers in the four hole, all right. All right, man. All right. There's a clear lack of respect for who we are to try to get away with this. And it happened.
Yeah.
They win. The Astros win.
A spot of risk giving the White Sox bulletin board material.
Yeah. The White Sox are so done. I would question whether those guys even knew who was batting for the Astros yesterday. Let's roll out there and see what happens. Doesn't matter. The Astros take 2 out of 3. The White Sox are now 30-95. One of the worst all-time teams ever. I'm not even just talking about baseball. If we do all the cross-sport references, there are Pistons bad. The Pistons team from
this past year?
Well, yes, but really all their years, the last couple of years, but sure. They're Pistons bad. I'm probably insulting the Blazers, but they're Blazers bad. This is one of the worst professional teams we've ever seen in any sport.
Are they Steven Silas Rockets bad?
Ooh. See, the problem is, if you think about it, the White Sox do have like a future star, current star, pitching. He pitched on Friday.
Yeah.
We saw what he's capable of.
They have a good center fielder. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, are we comparing those two to Shingun and Green? And saying those are the two players that could have been building blocks on those Rocket teams?
But I don't
during
know
the Silas years?
I don't know if these guys are, like, Green and Shingun were 19 on the Silas Rock.
That's true.
These guys have been in the league before. Like, these guys are probably in their mid-20s. I think they're worse than Silas Rockets bad.
I think they are, too.
Because they're, like, on pace to be one of the worst baseball teams ever.
Yeah, the Rockets weren't ever going to be a 10-win basketball team.
No.
They were
double that.
Yeah, but
they were a 19-win basketball team.
That's true. They were never going to be that bad. And the spot was like, I'm gonna show how bad they are. We're gonna test out this theory about how bad they are.
This is like when teams would come to Houston and play the Steven Silas Rockets, and it would be Giannis DMP, Chris Middleton DMP, Drew Holiday DMP, and you're like, what? Is Brook Lopez gonna give him 35?
Yes,
he would.
Yes, he will. Yeah. In fact, we're gonna make Brook Lopez the focus of this game and beat you by double digits because that's how bad you were. It didn't get that bad for the White Sox yesterday. They didn't get destroyed, whatever the equivalent is in baseball, but it was enough. And the Astros found a way, so we'll take it. And the other news we didn't get to, and we're way late, Verlander expected back on Wednesday. I think he had either a bullpen yesterday or today, and as long as that is okay, he'll be back on Wednesday. So expect Justin Verlander back in the rotation as the Astros hit the road. So all things trending in a positive direction as the Mariners continue to lose series. The Astros continue to win them. And as they get even closer and closer to a potential top two seed in the AL, that is not out of the question. Still certainly have multiple teams overcome. And what is it now, like 5 games back? But they are almost closer to that than the Mariners are to them. The Mariners are now 4 games back, and the Astros only 5 games back. So we're starting to see the Astros get some distance and even close in on some of the real contenders in baseball. Well, we are way late. It happens. So a warning, next segment will be very short, and then we'll get into the second hour of the show. There was a lot of slander being thrown around at quarterbacks. There was a quarterback who threw some slander at his former head coach. We'll get to in the second hour of the program. Sometimes a coach can be bad. He can maybe change the trajectory of your career. I don't remember a player ever calling a coach a terrible person. So we'll hear from that quarterback, a recently very rich quarterback, when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.